Mr. Paulson gives an update.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us as we continue coverage of the fallout from the financial crisis. Remember all that money in the federal bailout package that was passed, what, only a couple of months back? $700 billion? Half of it is gone. And a major stipulation to the bill was that Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson would have to go before Congress to request the other half. That may not be friendly territory, given some lawmakers' displeasure with the spending spree so far. That happening this morning. There's an emergency meeting today as well of the World Trade Organization. It wants to ease the credit crunch that's damaging global trade flows. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports on the WTO's plans to unlock financing on the high seas.
They're called letters of credit, and they guarantee what's promised. If you're a buyer, it's cargo. If you're a seller, it's cash. But the price banks charge for these letters has tripled recently, and it's made shipping incredibly expensive. So yesterday, the World Bank stepped in and doubled the amount of shipments that it will guarantee, from $1.5 billion to $3 billion. Shipping lawyer Steve Dixon says it's because old-fashioned sources of finance are hard to find.
Not many banks do trade finance anymore. They tend to be large international banks that have been really hit by the subprime and derivatives problem. And so they're the ones that are the most reluctant to do anything that's expensive and risky.
The head of the WTO says it's time to free up idle cargo ships so commodities like coal and grain can flow around the globe. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Maybe all those flat panel TVs are just a wee bit too big or pricey. It seems some electronics retailers are having a difficult go of it. Circuit City, of course, closing a fifth of its stores nationwide and cutting thousands of jobs. It also filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Now, Best Buy, which is in much better financial shape than Circuit City, is saying its fiscal 2009 profit forecast is much lower. Stocks are lower this morning, too. They fell in Asia, where the Nikkei closed more than a percent down. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed lower as well. European stocks opened up, but then retreated, with investors still hurting from yesterday's heavy losses. Earnings reports and economic data show the global gloom is thickening. The Dow sits at 86.93. It closed the day yesterday down 2%. Citibank joined a growing number of banks that are set to restructure mortgage payments for homeowners that are in financial trouble. Add that to the government's and the mortgage industry's plans to speed up renegotiating hundreds of thousands of bad loans held by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. As Elisa Roth reports, not everybody supports those moves.
Nobody seems to know how many homeowners would benefit from these or similar plans. But hedge funds, for one, think they're a terrible idea. Back in the day, hedge funds bought up a lot of these mortgages as securities, and the way the economy's going these days means they're losing money left and right.
This heightens that pressure because they will find payments coming in at lower rates than they contracted for.
Susan Wachter is a real estate professor at the Wharton School, and she says some politicians are worried the plans reward risky behavior.
What message are we sending going forward in terms of the mistakes people have made in entering into these mortgages?
Wachter thinks the real point's that nobody thinks modifying loans is a brilliant idea. It's just that the consequences of not modifying them would be so damaging. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
A lot of attention's been drawn on the new Yankee Stadium, but the slumping economy's even having an effect on some of the higher-priced luxury boxes there. $600,000 luxury boxes for sale. That's a lot of peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By Medtronic, working for improved healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient-serving groups at medtronic.com/community. And by Clarkson Potter, publishers of The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, a holiday gift idea for people who love to eat. Now available at splendidtable.org.
Up to now, Africa's banking systems have been relatively insulated from the global meltdown. A lot of Africans don't have bank accounts. Gretchen Wilson reports from Johannesburg, the continent is bracing for the ripple effects of the global slowdown.
To understand how Africa is feeling the hurt from the financial crisis, start with commodities. In South Africa, Platinum mines like this one process tons of mineral-rich earth. Just a few months ago, colossal demand drove global platinum prices to more than $2,200 an ounce. Africa is rich in natural resources: oil, copper, gold, and coal. David Shapiro is a market analyst with Sasfin Securities, a stock brokerage firm in Johannesburg. He says the recent demand for Africa's commodities really opened the continent to new development.
That's really been driven by the growth in emerging markets, particularly Chinese demand, Indian demand, Russian demand, etc.
But the meltdown of financial markets cooled global demand for Africa's resources and pulled back speculation. Commodity prices have crashed. Platinum alone is now trading at less than half of those earlier highs.
It's been quite a shock therapy for us.
Today, Africa's businesses and governments are afraid the crash will scare away rich Western investors. The UN says foreign direct investment here climbed to $53 billion last year, more than five times what it was just 8 years ago. Dennis Dykes is chief economist at South Africa's Nedbank Group.
Tied to that was a lot of infrastructure spending coming to the continent in terms of railways and roads, even things like telecommunications infrastructure.
But some governments are putting these big projects on hold, which means ordinary Africans may have to wait longer for electricity or irrigation systems. Some say they expect to be affected in other ways, too. Barbara Mufisi is a baker in Johannesburg. Her aunt and uncle live in London and send her family hundreds of dollars a month.
Those people who are overseas, they help us a lot.
The World Bank says $28 billion in remittances were sent home to Africa last year. Mufisi says that's bound to shrink if migrant workers lose their jobs.
It worries me because our hope is on them.
The next fear is that penny pinching in Western countries will also mean shrinking tourism dollars and cuts in foreign aid. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Hope you can check us out online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Enjoy your Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.